Welcome back to Question Medicine, where we are asking medical questions and giving medical answers based on recent medical literature. And today's question is, you have a patient that comes into your office and they want to get a knee replacement. They want to get a knee replacement. They are tired of all the pain. They're tired of the loss of function. They are tired because of their pain is in the knee, and the knee is in the pain, and the pain is just making it so their life is unbearable. So I ask you, based on the new guidelines from the American College of Rheumatology and the American Association of Hip and Knee Surgeons, what is the appropriate time to have a total knee replacement? When should you do it? Should you wait for the hemoglobin A1C to be most ideal? Should you wait till there's full smoking cessation? What about should you wait till the A1C is ideal and they have smoking cessation? Ooh, so many questions, so little time. You ponder that question, and I'll be back in 15 seconds. Andrew Bilt, sunny St. Petersburg, Florida. Let's do this thing, shall we? This is the 2023 American College of Rheumatology and American Association of Hip and Knee Surgeons Clinical Practice Guideline for the optimal timing of elective hip or knee arthroplasty for patients with symptomatic moderate to severe osteoarthritis or advanced symptomatic osteonecrosis with secondary arthritis for whom non-operative therapy is ineffective. And that is the longest guideline I have ever heard of in my entire life. This was November 2023, and this mainly deals with people who have radiographic moderate to severe hip or knee OA. They have moderate to severe pain or loss of function or both. They have no improvement with at least one non-invasive intervention, such as physical therapy or joint injections, although I think joint injections are kind of invasive, but Who's to say? And they desire to proceed to a new joint, and they desire to go to surgery. They desire to go under the knife. If they meet this criteria, which is basically they have pain, they're having a loss of function or loss of life, quality of life, which is most people that have pain, they've tried something such as physical therapy or injection, which is most people because that's the first line or the first step you do for everyone, and they want to go to surgery, which is most everyone, then this is who this guideline was written for, which is realistically every patient you're going to see. So let's dig into what they said. There's a few key points here that I think are huge take-homes and maybe changes to your everyday life, and something that I think that you should probably write a dot phrase for going forward, because realistically, the surgeons sometimes do not want to operate on certain populations, and they say, oh, well, A1C has to be 6 before I can operate, which is malarkey, horse junk, and baloney. And, you know, if you're in pain and you can't walk around the block to try to lose weight or exercise or improve yourself, how are you supposed to have a lower A1C? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. That is why we don't invite surgeons to journal clubs or book clubs or anything that requires a brain. They just give them a scalpel, let them stay in the OR, and that's where they belong. I'm joking, of course. If you're a surgeon, I'm sure you're super, super smart. It just is sometimes the excuses on not go to surgery drive me insane. So let's dig into, in this guideline, what are the recommendations? What do I think are the big take home for this patient population that wants to get a total knee replacement, has some pain, and has a little bit of loss of function? First and foremost, this guideline completely says that you should not delay getting a total joint just to have a trial of physical therapy, anti-inflammatory drugs, bracing, intra-articular steroid injections, or hyaluronic acid injections. This is key to me. I feel like so often we send someone off to the orthopedic surgeon, they're like, well, you had two injections in your knee, and it looks like we're going to try these hyaluronic acid injections that really haven't beat placebo, like in any placebo-blinded trial ever, but we're still going to try them because I don't want to take you to surgery yet, so we're going to try them, or, you know, I'm just going to give you some braces. Maybe you can walk around with some braces for a while, and that'll do it. No. This guideline is very clear. Do not delay surgery just to give brief trials of these other things. Do not do it. A total joint replacement should not be delayed regardless of the BMI. It doesn't matter how heavy they are. It doesn't matter. You can't say, well, if you lose 5 pounds, yes, if they lose 5 pounds, it would be better. But if they stay in the same amount of pain they're in, they're probably not going to lose 5 pounds. So it should not be delayed regardless of the BMI. It is reasonable to recommend a trial of smoking cessation, but once again, surgery shouldn't be delayed until the patient has completely stopped smoking. I mean, you should say, hey, you need to stop smoking, give them recommendations, give them drugs, give them things to do to help them stop smoking, but don't delay surgery just because they were not able to completely stop smoking. We all know smoking or nicotine products are the most addicting things out there, and we can't just say, hey, you know, you can't get a new knee unless you stop smoking. That's just not realistic. That's not recommended. That is clearly stated in this guideline. And last but not least, they do say you need to get your A1C under control. But here's what they don't say. What does under control even mean? To me, I'm really thinking anything less than 9. I mean, definitely anything less than 8 is totally fine. You know, if you're 13, 14, all right, cool. We need to get you down. But if you're under 9, then I think we got to go ahead and go to surgery. You got to get these people moving. You want to get them active. You want to get them out there. And if they have such knee pain or hip pain that they cannot move like they want to move, well, then they're not going to move because it hurts. It's a decrease in function. It's a decrease in life. It's a decrease in quality of life. So this is a game changer just based on these main 4 recommendations. The ultimate takeaway, bottom line is, do not delay therapy based on the BMI. Do not delay therapy just because you want to give them a few more steroid injections or hyaluronic acid injections or physical therapy things. Try to get their A1C under control, but we don't really know what under control means. And smoking cessation would be really nice, but in the end, just try to educate them on decreasing their smoking or hopefully stopping smoking altogether, but do not delay just because they are not able to stop smoking. If you like this podcast, then please give it a review. But I know, I'm just like you. I don't give every podcast a review. So let's just be honest. If you like the podcast, just share it with a friend so we can all be a little bit better, one question at a time. And with that, I will end this podcast as I've ended every single one before it. Wait for the music. Until next time, Keith Quest in Questioning.